Well, Father, we bow before you. We thank you that we can gather in your name. And Lord, we thank you that we have that great victory. We thank you for your word that you give us, and we need to be in it. And we are aware of the evil around us, but help us not to be dwelling on that. Help us not to be taking our eyes off of you. Help us not to be taking our eyes off the need. If the media is spreading out bad news, we need to be spreading out the good news. If the media is spreading out good news, we need to be spreading out the good news, because we have the truth, and the dark world does need it so desperately. So lead us this morning as we continue on with the dialogues in the Bible of you speaking to man. And today we have the second dialogue with Abram, and it's the first appearance, the first time you appeared to him. So it's an amazing thing that we can read your word and learn from it, because the parallel between the nation of Israel, the parallel of Abraham and just whoever we study in the Bible is such an example for us as we walk through this life and through this world. And so guide us this morning as we look at this passage in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we moved all the way up to verse 6 in chapter 12. We've been the last two times in the promises to Abraham, and today now we have the next dialogue that he had with the Lord. And in verse 6 we read, chapter 12, verse 6, Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh, and the Canaanites were then in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain of Bethel. And he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abraham journeyed, going on still toward the south. So in these verses, I think we see four major things. We could even see a lot more than that if you want to break it down even more. But we first read that he is passing through the land, passing through the land. That is our life here, is it not? Passing through this land, passing through this land in this life. And he's following now the will of the Lord. The Lord directed him to the promised land, and it took a while to get there, but now he's there, and 75 years old when he went into the land, I believe. But he's going through the land, and he goes to the place of Shechem. That's, about 30 miles north of Jerusalem. It's about not quite midway north-south, so he's gone a fair distance in the promised land, and he stops at Shechem between Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim there. And what does he do? The Lord appears to him. Now the Lord spoke to him once he took off and went into the promised land. Now he's there. Now the Lord appears to him, promising him again, to your descendants I will give this land. And there he did what? He built an altar to the Lord. Abraham is an altar builder. Awesome. He builds an altar first here in Shechem, and then he'll move on down to Bethel, and he'll build an altar there. But he builds the altar there in Shechem. And what do we see in building an altar? Well, we need to be looking at the altars and building our own altars. There is a continuing cleansing aspect of the altar. And we need that continuing cleansing aspect in our lives, do we not? It's also a symbol of worship. We need to be worshiping him, do we not? So how is your scale with respect to praise and worship, and your scale with respect to looking at what all is wrong in the world? If you spend any time looking at any outside media, whatever media it is, social or commercial or whatever else, it's about 99% negative, right? Or at least a high percentage is. So what do we need? We need to be praising the Lord and worshiping him, do we not? Because he is cleansing, and that is what we have in the altars here. And so we have now Abraham building an altar there in Shechem. But he stayed in Shechem a while. We don't know how long. But now he's going to move on to further south and a little bit east to a place between Bethel and Ai. Now, it's very interesting, these two little areas there, two little cities. Bethel is known for what? Being the house of God. Ai is known, the definition of Ai is ruin. So now there's a choice. Are you going to pitch your tent near ruin, or are you going to pitch your tent near the house of God? So that's a choice that he has. And where does he build the altar? Well, it's near Bethel, and it's anyway, he's worshiping the Lord. He's not into ruin. And we have a constant stream of choices, don't we? Moment by moment, day by day, are we going to move toward the ruin, or are we going to move toward Bethel? He's an altar builder. So we have that continuing cleansing. We have that continuing worship in that regard. Then he's going, after he goes on down to Ai in that area and builds that, he has that continuing choice. So if we've looked now where he's been, he started out in Ur, that's godlessness. Then he went to Haran, that is midpoint, that's halfway. That's you're partly religious, whether you're really committed to the Lord or not. At least you got that far. He got that far. But then he goes into the land, the promised land. And so we may have mentioned this before, but where do you live in your heart? Or how much of the Ur do you have in your heart? How much of the Haran do you have in your heart? Or how much of the land of Canaan, the promised land, do you have in your heart? So we need to be reminded of being in the right place in that regard. And when we get into the promised land, then we also have, if we're going to be effective, we need to be filled with the Spirit, don't we? We need to be filled with the Spirit. And when we think of our witness, you know, our witness is not what we do for the Lord, I don't think, so much as what he does through us. And without the Spirit, you don't have a witness. But if you are filled with the Spirit, he'll use you as a great witness, and it's just such a great magnet to draw people to the Lord. So Abraham passes through the land. He's got a life of enemies around him. The Canaanites were in the land. We have a life of enemies around us, always will have. He has a life of continuing cleansing, a life of unending choice, which we do, and a life represented by the tent where he's always moving. He never settles down. He keeps moving. He keeps moving. Walk, walk, walk. Not settle, settle, settle. So we, church, need to keep moving, right? We need to keep moving spiritually, and we need to keep moving, spreading the gospel and praying. And this is the one thing that we'll overcome no matter what. And I know there were a lot of prayers that went out this last week on all those many votes we had. But now we get into the house. We had to do two votes in the house, and then we had to finally get that voted. And that all of those are really classic cases of the Lord delivering, because there's no way they, 30 minutes before the final vote, they still had six Republicans absolutely staunchly were not going to vote for it. And in fact, Massey, but they all kind of caved in. Massey did. Interesting. He's always against everything, right? But it was getting very close near the end, so he voted for it to kind of keep in the race. And then when the other votes came in, when it was going to pass, and he changed his vote to negative again. But he's never voted for anything. I don't think he's ever approved anything. But, you know, he's kind of a problem. But he and who was the other? Rand Paul, I think, didn't vote for it. And they've got their reasons. And, you know, I went great deductions, but this is a whole series of steps here that we're going to go into round two now of working on this fall. And we are so godless in this nation that the people won't accept any cuts, right? Because they don't want their constituents not to vote for them. So here's the problem we have. We all want cuts, but we don't want it to come from our district. We want it to come from the next district. And so it's very difficult to do what is right, particularly when you have a lot of godless people in the mix, right? But we can pray, and we can make a difference in that regard. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to come to you. We thank you for the anniversary of the freedom that we have in this nation and the godly formation of it as is available, but it's so distorted these days with history being so rewritten and with so many people hating this country and not seeing you in it at all. And so that's where we need to come in as a church. So help us in our prayers to pray aright. And so guide us and lead us this morning as we are conscious of this scripture and the various things that we see you taking Abram through. We thank you for speaking with him. We thank you for appearing to him. And we thank you for being here this morning, Lord. So lead us now by your Spirit in Jesus' name. Well, let's turn to our last page of our notes here, page 3, actually. And let's pray through these representatives today. We got about 68 names here to pray for. Well, Steve, would you start us off with Iowa, and we'll just work our way around. You can take a state at a time, or if you want just fewer names, just whatever the Lord leads you. But here are about 68 names to pray for. Amen. Father, I want to lift up Missouri, my old home state. Mike Kehoe holds a position of governor, and there's no lieutenant governor, so he holds that position as well. U.S. Senator Josh Hawley, good man. Eric Schmidt, okay. Wesley Bell, Ann Wagner, Bob Onder, Mark Alfred. Okay, Emmanuel Cleaver, I don't know, and Sam Graves, Eric Burleson, Jason Smith has done a wonderful job there in the House. He's headed up that one of those big committees up there, and he's a very solid guy. So we pray for them all. Yes. Ilhan Omar and Tlaib, they're Muslims. They will always hate Israel. They will always hate this country. The states of Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan have predominantly Democratic representatives. The Democratic representatives are predominantly godless. Interesting, like a state like Minnesota, the whole state is red except for the black dots there in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, but that's the way it always is. The cities are representing their own kind. For example, these two Muslim ladies, there's nobody in those districts where they're in but Muslims. Can you imagine there's that many Muslims there in those districts? So they'll always elect a Muslim. They're not going to elect anybody else, because I don't care if they're so worst incompetent person in the world, they're still a Muslim, right? So that's one of the things that we have here, and the Lord knows that. And they still need the Lord, so we pray for them. Many of these other states are primarily Republican that we've covered today, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky. Kentucky's got some good people in it, although we've got several problems there. There's more recently Mitch McConnell and Tom Massey are two of the worst, and Rand Paul. They're always pretty much on the other side of the vote, but they are Republicans. Louisiana's a pretty godly nation. Now, all but one are Republicans, and there's a lot of depth of character in most of those people. But they're still people, and they need prayer. I'd say there's a fair number of these, probably a greater number of believers in our representatives there are in the constituency. I think the constituency is worse than this. So we're thankful for the godly leaders that he's raised up. So we'll keep going through these lists until we finish, and we've got about 600 to go through, and we're doing about 70 a week. And so pray for these. You can hold on to the notes. Pretty soon you'll have all 435 House members and 100 senators and the governors and lieutenant governors. Father, we thank you for meeting us here this morning. We thank you for the emphasis on choices that we see Abraham making and the choice of good or evil. We see the enemies in the land, the continuing enemies around us, even in the promised land. It was filled with enemies and had to be overcome. And so, Lord, we have the opportunity to be overcomers, but it's not by standing still. We got to be moving forward. And we've got to be moving forward with that awareness that we're fighting from victory, not for victory. You've already given us the victory. So help us to know that. Help us to live that, Lord. And we've got the good news. If we've got the good news, may our lives reflect that good news that you've given us and be such a beacon to others. So help us in that, Lord. And if you give us another day, may we do it tomorrow and the day after and so forth. So, Lord, all of those needs for healing, especially the unbelievers, we really pray for their healing until they're saved. For the believer, take them home right on time, and you will, I know. And we thank you for that beautiful thing of not leaving us in these decrepit bodies that are filled with pain and cancers or whatever they are. And so, Lord, may your hand be upon each one here, and may we be in your word. May we be in prayer. May we be near our altars in our praise and worship, and may we be building them, Lord, and having that cleansing that comes from there, as well as that just meeting you and just being with you. So we thank you. We thank you for Abraham and the lessons in him. And I just want to once again go back to that hymn that we did last week. We'll do it again because the words are not really very familiar with that many of us, but they're so powerful. So we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. So the God of Abraham prays. We'll sing that again. The God of Abraham prays, who reigns enthroned above. Got that picture? Who reigns enthroned above. I love it. Ancient of everlasting days. Sound like the book of Daniel, doesn't it? Ancient of everlasting days. And God of love. He is the God of love, is he not? Jehovah great I am. Wow, that's who he is. He's a great I am. By earth and heaven confessed, I bow and bless the sacred name forever blessed. And may we do that. The God of Abraham prays, at whose supreme command from earth I rise, wow, and seek the joys at his right hand. I all on earth forsake, do you? Am I? It's wisdom, fame, and power, and him my only portion make. Beautiful. My shield and tower. He by himself has sworn, I on his oath depend. I shall on eagle's wings upborne to heaven ascend. Yes, indeed. I shall behold his face. I shall his power adore and sing the wonders of his grace forevermore. Are you doing that? Did you sing this week of his grace forevermore? Wow. The whole triumphant host, boy, can you think of that? Millions of angels and soon to be believers up there as well. The whole, well, they're already there, but the church will be up there in full as well soon. The whole triumphant host give thanks to God on high. Hail Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, they ever cry. Hail Abraham's God and mine, I join the heavenly lays. All might and majesty are thine, and endless praise. Isn't that beautiful? Let's sing that. And we say amen to that. Father, thank you for meeting us here today. And may we just be a light as we go out that door and continue to praise you and honor you and listen to you as you guide us. In Jesus' name, amen.